Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We've got a special program planned and a special guest going to be introducing in just a moment. But just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And Facebook, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we are on YouTube as I get everything slowly shared over here. We'll have those coming up, the live feed on that here momentarily, hopefully. But also, before we get to our guest here this afternoon, many of you have heard, if you were listening in the last half hour, Pastor Lutz had me on his program for the Cause of Christ here in the last half hour. We were sharing some memories over our dear friend familiar to many people here on the radio, Bruce Musselman, who went to be with the Lord this morning. We'll be talking more about that at a later date. Pastor Lutz and myself and Pastor Rusnacko, who will be on in a half an hour, we're going to be combining our programs maybe in about 2 weeks and doing a special tribute program for Bruce Musselman. Of course, many of you know that he was on the radio as well. I helped him out with his program. Where is God's Word? You can find it online at whereisgodsword.com. And we'll be talking about more of that in the future. So I just wanted to make that announcement for our listeners that may not have heard. The Lord called Brother Bruce Musselman to be with him this morning. So thank God that everything went fairly quickly, and he's with the Lord rejoicing in heaven as we speak. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here, and I have a special guest, as I said, here today. We have Gary Kah on the radio with us today. He was with us back in March, the first Friday in March. We were talking about some things the New World Order has planned, global government, things like that. Gary Kah is the author of The New World Religion, and prior to that, En Route to Global Occupation, and he was a former trade, I'm going to get Gary on here, I'm going to mess up his intro here, trade advisor representative for the state of Indiana. And Gary Kah, welcome to the program today.
Hi, Al. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, and glad you can be with us again.
Well, likewise. It's good to be with you.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. I believe when you were on with us in March, you had mentioned, we had talked about the idea that the Pope was planning a global education summit for yesterday, actually, to roll out some of his plans to help educate the world and the need for global government, bring all the religions of the world together. I guess even in March, there was supposed to have been a global economic summit that the Pope was supposed to be a part of. Well, they got postponed, didn't they?
That's right. Yeah. Of course, yesterday was May 14th, and they announced out of the Vatican that they were postponing the launch of their global compact on education until this fall, which is a good thing, mm-hmm. but they replaced it with a multi-faith time of fasting and prayer. So if you're not an interfaithist, if you are one who believes that, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through him, then whenever you see the interfaithism, you know, all the world's religions coming together, praying and fasting to their different gods, part of you wants to say yes, just for the sake of unity, but the other side of you that is in line with Scripture and the Bible, and the God of the Bible says no. You know, that's an aberration. That is not. I mean, in ancient times, Israel got punished when they did things like that. If they carried on long enough in that manner. In today's world, that sounds narrow-minded, but intrafaithism ultimately is going to help usher in the new world order. And the Pope has been at the forefront of this push toward bringing all the world's religions together for a common purpose, kind of like the rebuilding of the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. It was God who scattered the people there, because if he had not done so, we would have had the first, in essence, world government of that time, with Nimrod sitting at the top of it like a dictator. And so today everything's pushing back toward one world, you know, one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, and we're getting closer and closer, except for a few things like Brexit and the last 3 years here in the U.S. where there's been a pulling back from that. But as a whole, the world is moving in that direction, and the Pope has been pushing that agenda, unfortunately.
Well, and you're talking about the world moving in that direction, and then a few things like Brexit and here in the United States hindering. And that brings up one of the things that I've been talking about a lot myself at our church and even on the radio. I like to preach through books of the Bible at church. And at our church, I've been preaching through, I had just finished recently 1 Thessalonians, and then just a couple of weeks ago started in 2 Thessalonians. And actually more than a couple of weeks ago now, I guess almost a month, because 2 weeks ago I was at the beginning of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition, and about how he's being hindered from being revealed. And I do think we see God's hand holding them back until the right time. What do you think?
Yes, I think, you know, the passage that has come to me over and over recently is from 2 Chronicles, where God calls on his people to humble themselves,
yes,
seek his face, pray, and turn from their wicked ways. That's a key part that people, you know, we're so familiar with that passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that it almost goes in one ear and out the other sometimes, but there's the part, and turn from their wicked ways, and which means repentance, of course.
Right.
And I believe, even though that specific passage was intended for the Israelites, in principle it holds true to us today as well. God has always been willing to intervene on behalf of the people when they have truly repented. We saw it in the case of Nineveh. And today in the United States, you know, we've got a perfect opportunity as a people to get on our knees before God and fully surrender to him and say, Lord, I'm all yours. I'm going to walk the rest of my life in obedience to you with your help. I'm not going to have my own agenda anymore. Help me to walk uprightly before you. I let go of my sins and the whatever bad habits that I have, and turn it all over to you. And if we did that on a large scale as a nation, I'm convinced God would intervene and give us more time. But there is going to come a period of time. We know from Scripture it's been prophesied. Mm-hmm. It's going to come sooner or later where God no longer holds back. He's going to let things run their course. And in essence, people will get what they deserve at that point. But I don't believe that's going to happen until the full measure of sin has been reached. And I think we're getting closer and closer to that point. I was really hoping that COVID-19 would produce some type of revival, and I think there are pockets of that taking place in the country, but not on a really large scale that I see. In fact, some of the statistics of late have been almost mind-boggling. I saw where a few liquor stores, their sales were up by over 300%.
Yes.
I think across the board, it's up at least 50 to 100%. Pornography addiction has gotten worse. Child abuse, you know, you name it. So people being stuck at home rather than using this as a time to really pursue God and get on his agenda and follow him, they're just looking for different vices, you know, to take up their time.
Right.
And that's not good. So I'm hoping, I'm wanting to see a turnaround, and if there is, I believe God will give us some more time. But if not, the globalists right now, and this is not a prediction because I don't know, only God knows, but the globalists, their timetable, they're working on a 12-month to 18-month timetable, and that was as of January. So they're still moving forward right now, and they're going to try to pull this thing off until they're stopped. If they hit a brick wall, they'll try again later on. They'll learn from this experience, make some adjustments, and try again later. But as of right now, I think they're still pushing forward with this because of how far they've already been able to come in using a global pandemic to put any final pieces in place for a complete globalization and world government. And one of the things they're trying to implement is a new electronic monetary unit as a medium of exchange. They want to go cashless. And they're saying, you know, cash, the COVID-19 can be transferred through cash and also on plastic. Even bacteria, the virus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can live longer on plastic actually than on paper currency. So if they had their way, they would get rid of, currency as well as credit cards. The World Health Organization has already publicly come out and called for everybody to stop using cash. And so this is helping to set that stage. And the new system has been waiting in the wings now for about 18 to 20 months. It is ready to go. So that's not the issue. It's they're waiting for the right opportunity to be able to introduce it, and so a crisis comes in very handy.
Didn't the Democrats try to put digital currency into the first stimulus bill initially?
Well, I heard rumors of it, but to be honest, I did read the whole bill, so I can't say for sure. But
I don't think it got into the final bill, but I think there was an attempt to put it in there.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised because they've really been pushing this agenda. And there are three things right now, actually, Al, that are moving forward at the same time. Of course, the push for a mandatory global vaccine. And then they want to ride that platform to introduce a digital identity for every person on the planet, where every person has their own digital identity. And they're going to do this in the name of human rights, probably starting with the poorer countries, lesser developed countries, and they'll make it look like, you know, this gives them dignity for each person to be counted, to have their own digital identity. They basically have come out and said that. I have quotes from them in my recent article that I posted online. It's called COVID-19, A Global Conditioning, and I encourage people to read that at our website, GaryCaw.org. So they're working on the vaccine, the digital ID, and then along with that, a cashless system, means of exchange. And all three are working hand in hand, and you have almost all the same players involved in all three of those areas. Some very powerful people and foundations throwing a lot of money around to try to make this happen. And some of those include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, Gavi, which is the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations, which, by the way, got $750 million from the Gates Foundation. Microsoft has been involved, the UN heavily, the various UN agencies, and then, of course, key international banking figures and people from the World Health Organization. And, you know, you can go on so many rabbit trails on this, and I don't want to do that here, but it's just... It almost boggles the mind how far they've come without really being detected in a major way until this virus, and now it's just all, you know, coming out into full view.
And, you know, when we look at these things that are coming together, one of the things that really has shocked me is how quickly Americans were willing to accept these shutdowns and living essentially under house arrest, and not just Americans in general, but how many pastors. I remember seeing a Facebook page where a pastor said, well, we have to close our services because the Bible says we must be obedient to the government. And, you know, thankfully, and I know there have been good reasons for some churches to shut down for health reasons and things like that. It's like I've said before, I would not want to be the pastor of a church that's alongside the coast when a storm surge from a hurricane's coming and they come by and say, you know, there's a 20-foot storm surge coming, you've got to evacuate. I don't want to be the pastor standing in the doorway shaking my fist saying, nobody's going to tell me to close my church. You know, obviously you need to do things for safety's sake, but thankfully in Ohio, Governor DeWine never mandated that churches close. But it's amazing how many places where they were told they must close, churches didn't even, you know, offer up any resistance. They just capitulated.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is this came down from the World Health Organization,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the governments around the world just began implementing it without really seriously questioning it. And then you take a look at who's in charge of the World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
You have Tedros Ghebreyesus, who is from Ethiopia, where he was a socialist revolutionary. So they made him the head of the World Health Organization. And he's also been, for many years, very, very close to China. If that's not enough, the second in command at the World Health Organization is actually from China, where he held a top position in the area of health with the Chinese government. So you have the top two people at the World mm-hmm. Health Organization that are completely in the back pocket of China. And then you find out who's been helping to fund some of the World Health Organization's efforts. Back in 2010, Gates committed $10 billion to the World Health Organization, and he said, I quote, "We must make this the decade of vaccines." Interesting.
Mm.
And so then the UN, around the same time they're issuing all these mandates, they tell us, and this came down from the top, from the Secretary General of the UN, Guterres, that they want 10% of U.S. income should be given to the UN. And so President Trump responded a few weeks later by cutting off all funding to the World Health Organization,
right.
which was a good first step move. And so there really is a battle being fought now between globalism and nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some people who believe it's very important that we defend our national sovereignty because we don't want to come under a very anti-Christian type of global government system. And it seems thus far that President Trump has been towing that line, and I'm thankful for that. We need to pray for him that he doesn't back down on that. But yet he's being told by, you know, the health experts that we have to do this or that. And so he's between a rock and a hard spot, but he is doing his best, I think, to reopen the country because we're running out of time. If our economy crashes, then that plays into the hands of the globalists because that's what they're waiting for, to introduce their new system. You know, you can't do that when a country's running on high octane with mm-hmm. only 3.5% unemployment. People aren't willing to change when everything's going great. So to force change, you need a crisis, and everything has to be brought to a standstill, and it has to look as if the current system has utterly failed, and it has to be replaced with something new. And that's where they're trying to get us to, I mean, they're, to that point. You've got some states that have now basically shut down. California's till August. Some universities have announced that they're closing all the way through the end of this calendar year, which is utterly ridiculous, you know, but... And people might say, why are they so extreme? Well, there's an agenda behind this. The
right.
longer they keep things shut down, the more damage it does to the economy, the better a chance there is that this agenda can be brought in. So that's kind of how things are flowing right now.
Well, I would say that's why the media and social platforms online are working diligently to censor people that don't toe the line. You had brought up something about where God talked about his people humbling themselves and praying and how it helps a country. Because I believe we saw that 4 years ago when Franklin Graham went to the capitals of all of each of the 50 states, and he held a prayer rally. And I went to the one here in Columbus, here in Ohio, And at that prayer rally, he didn't endorse a particular candidate, didn't tell you who to vote for. He simply started by saying that Christians need to pray and confess the sins individually, their community, their state, and their country, and ask God to give mercy to our country. And I believe, you know, that Hillary Clinton would have become president had God's people not gotten out and prayed and then gotten enthused and voted. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do agree with you, and kudos to Franklin for doing that. I think it made all the difference in the world, rallying believers together in mass to pray about the upcoming election. And we were part of the one down here at the State House in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and the grounds were packed.
Oh, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Maybe 10,000 people there. I mean, a lot of people. And it spread around the nation, and really people mm-hmm. Turned out in droves. And the vote was as much against Hillary as for Trump. Mm-hmm. But the New World Order crowd, they thought they pretty much had this thing wrapped up,
yeah.
because Hillary would have carried the baton forward. And with Trump, they've encountered thus mm-hmm. far quite a bit of resistance, and it's given us some more time.
You know,
we've had a type of reprieve here,
mm-hmm.
a few really good years to continue on to get the gospel out, and I just mm-hmm. pray that continues. But if it doesn't, what I am seeing, Al, is down the road, and again, I don't know when, but at some point, I believe we will face much darker times, and there will be persecution, and that's something that people have to be ready for. I just found out through an organization that I'm on the board of at our recent meeting, where we've been helping Jewish people go back to Israel to make Aliyah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn a lot about what's going on in the Middle East and in Israel. And some of the countries around Israel, especially Turkey and Iran, they've been printing cartoons in their papers showing airplanes with Israeli flags draped around them, flying over people, spraying COVID-19 on them.
Mm.
And so the narrative that the Jews have unleashed this against the world and that they need to be dealt with, that is already going on in the Middle East and
mm-hmm.
beginning to spread into Europe. And I hope it doesn't go any further. But if it does, you know, that narrative is being driven by some in the media.
Right.
And also saying that Christians are part of the problem in this country,
right.
because they helped elect Trump, and none of this would have happened if he wouldn't be in, and on and on and on. And so we can see the handwriting on the wall. And so, you know, just like the early Christians, the first century church, when they stood firm, they had to be willing to pay the price for it. And I just feel that in this country, we have had it so good for so long that if the time comes, and if we're here to see it happen, when the New World Order really comes in, there's going to be persecution, and we're going to have to put ourselves on the line for the cause of Christ, and we have to be ready to do that and not be fearful, which brings me to my final...
we just got a couple minutes left, so...
Okay, good. I wanted to get in 2 Timothy 1:7, because that is so applicable today. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
Amen to
and
that.
Just as that held true for the early church, it still holds true for us, and we need to really take hold of that verse and own it, you know. And I mean, if we serve the Lord and we believe in Him, that He has taken our sins upon Himself, then we're guaranteed of eternal life in heaven.
Amen.
The worst thing that can happen to us is that we lose our lives in this world. If we do, we graduate to eternity in heaven. And so we constantly have to remind ourselves of that, because this world and everything in it is very temporary.
Right. Well, Gary Kaa, I want to thank you for being on the radio with me here today. And you know, I really believe more and more lately there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, chapter 2, where he says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." It's working, but it's being held back. And I really do believe that there's a time coming that Paul wrote about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for that trumpet's going to sound, and the believers are going to be caught up to be with the Lord. And I think that's when the mystery of iniquity will have full reign, and these events will come to pass. But you nailed it there for us. You need Christ, don't you? You need Christ as your Savior. Gary, what is your website?
Our website is simply myname.org. It's GaryKah.org.
Well, Gary Koff, thank you for coming on the program today, and keep up the good work. We'll continue to pray for you, and I hope our listeners will continue to pray for President Trump and our country, and pray that God will continue to work through us. If you don't know Christ, put your faith in Christ before it's everlastingly too late. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.